We're going to go out to the Metro PCS hotline, bring in Harvey Green, Vice President of Historical Affairs for the Miami Dolphins. Harvey, good evening. How are you doing today?
Good, Greg. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. And just to kind of set this up for everybody, the report came out yesterday that Stephen Ross has decided to go through with the renovations at Sun Life Stadium, not ask for a tax break, but instead receive a portion of the revenues generated by hosting big events like the Super Bowl. No better person to talk about the Super Bowl than Harvey Green, who has been to 28 Super Bowls in every different capacity, including the past 25 in a row. So, Harvey, let's first talk about the potential economic impact that the Super Bowl makes, whether it's down here in South Florida or elsewhere. What is that when a Super Bowl is hosted by your region or your hometown?
Well, I think there are two things, and everyone talks about the economic impact, and I do think it's very tangible. There's certainly a lot of studies that have been shown what those numbers are. But what people really don't focus on, and I wish they would, because I've seen it firsthand, is the benefit that each Super Bowl brings to the host community. And I can give you some examples of the ones that I've seen, and it's been basically everyone down here since this stadium was built. Every time a Super Bowl comes into a city, there are always a couple of things that take place. One is that there's the NFL experience, which thousands of fans, it's a great family experience, get to have a good time. They go out, enjoy a lot of the almost theme park atmosphere that the NFL brings. It's a great family atmosphere. OJ can tell you this, because my guess is he's been a part of some of these. You have clinics that help in the areas where Super Bowls are being held for the week leading up to the Super Bowl. There are a great number of clinics where high school and youth football elements are certainly introduced. There's also some charitable and civic elements that people aren't aware of and probably should be. I know the Super Bowls that were here, I've worked. We had Habitat for Humanity, where we went down to some neighborhoods, helped rebuild houses with players from around the league. We also have two YET centers that are in operation, one in Broward County, one in Miami-Dade County, and they continuously help our youth become a little more oriented towards computer use and other things that also tie into athletic elements that go along with these YET centers. They're up and running every single day, and I can't tell you how many young people they've impacted positively. So when you look at all these other elements that come with a Super Bowl to each of the communities that are lucky enough to land them, there are certainly some very viable economic impacts, but there are some great charitable and civic ones as well, some which continue long after the Super Bowl itself has been played and left town and then moved on to some other city the following year. But these are things that are here, are up and running, and have tangible benefits to the community.
All right, Harvey, assuming that the renovations do take place, the reports are true, and Stephen Ross goes through with this, what is the likelihood that South Florida can land the next available Super Bowl, which would be in 2019?
If you saw what happened yesterday in Atlanta, people love going to New Orleans, but they wanted to reward Minnesota for investing in a new stadium. And I think the history has been that if you have a first-class stadium, you will probably be on the front burner for Super Bowl. Roger Goodell, as you well know, I mean, this has been repeated often, has said the stage is still the most important element. Now, if you have a first-class stage and a first-class destination, which Miami would have both of if these renovations take place, then this becomes an irresistible location for a Super Bowl. Right now we have one. We have the destination, and hopefully after Steve's investment pays off and then we do all the renovations that we've talked about, we'll have a facility to match every other one in the league up on that first-tier level. I don't know how the league can turn us down. So I think hand-in-hand with both elements, we'd certainly be among the very leading contenders, which frankly right now we're not.
Harvey, what are the plans for the renovation? When would it start? When would it be completed? The stages that it's going to go through, when you guys get started, and when we get started on this thing, is it? I know it's obviously got to be before the Super Bowl that we're looking for in 2019. But what are the stages, and when would this whole renovation project get started?
Again, LJ, there are a lot of other elements that I'm really not up to speed on in terms of what these things might need to be done in terms of working with the government and some of the contractors and some of the other things. I don't want to get ahead of the process, but I could tell you that certainly if you're going to bid on 2019, the plan obvious would be to get all this in place and all the renovations complete so that you can know that you're going to present the Super Bowl in one of the most modern facilities in the NFL. And certainly we all have confidence in Steve that he's going to be able to provide that. One thing Steve Ross knows, it's knowing how to build first-class structures. And I think when Steve is finished, this stadium is going to look like the ones that are just brand new around the league. It's going to be something that the team, the league, and I think Dolphin fans are going to be very proud of. And certainly it's going to be a great location for a Super Bowl and a great venue for it.
Harvey Green, Vice President of Historical Affairs for the Miami Dolphins, joining us on the Metro PCS hotline here on the Finsiders. And Harvey, I wanted to ask you, with all the Super Bowl experiences you have, being a 25 in a row and 28 overall, some of your favorite memories. But first, I got to ask you about a specific one, because this is the most recent. I remember watching the most recent Super Bowl. Malcolm Smith is the MVP. He goes to his press conference after the game, and all of a sudden, there is an imposter, a guy who tries to hijack the interview, runs up on the stage, and who's the first person to cut him off? You, Harvey, as he's trying to get his message out there. What was going through your mind when all that took place?
Well, the first thing I thought about is, how did this guy get in there? I mean, you know, Super Bowl was locked down. You know, security was such a concern over the course of the week, and I thought the league and the law enforcement agencies in the New York, New Jersey area did a great job. But all of a sudden, there's somebody in there hijacking an interview to make a political standpoint. And so the first thing I thought is, how did they get in here? And the second thing I thought of is, I hope everybody in the room is going to be safe. Luckily, everything worked out fine. I was able to just pull him aside, and then security is quick to get him. And then Malcolm continued on the interview. He was pretty good, by the way. That's the first thing he said is, how did he get here? So, you know, it was kind of interesting. I had no idea, by the way, when I finished, that it was such a national story. I walked back into the press room afterwards. You know, I forgot that it was televised live on ESPN. And so I walked back into the press room. I just figured maybe the people in the room knew about it. And 40 media people came up to me and asked me what happened. And only then did I realize that this had actually become a pretty good-sized story. But, you know, luckily things worked out well. And I still want to give the people in the New York, New Jersey area, you know, a lot of credit. They did a great job with that Super Bowl. And, you know, one little, I guess, exception shouldn't take away from the great job they did in putting that game on.
Now, Harvey, I know you enjoy running as exercise, and you run marathons and some 5Ks. And I know
just
at one point,
keep up with you, OJ.
I know at one point you ran a 5K with OJ McDuffie in the field. Now, I just want to know what the results were of that 5K.
I will tell you the story real briefly. OJ, you know this well, took off, and you know I knew you never ran a road race before, so I just said, yeah, he's going to die after the first kilometer, and I couldn't find you, and I figured, oh, you must be roadkill. They probably dragged you off to the side of the road. So I'm coming around the finish, and I saw you cheering at the finish line, and I said, ah, he must have recovered pretty well when they dragged him off, because he can't run 3 miles. And sure enough, I crossed the line, you gave me a nice pat on the back, and they announced the award winners, and there you were finishing third. So I learned my lesson. I should have known, since you always finish first in Shula's 12-minute run, never to doubt that you can run 15 minutes in a road race.
So I can run fast.
I've been apologizing ever since.
Yeah, I can run distance, but not very fast, right, Harvey?
I don't know. You used to knock off that 12-minute run pretty quick. Yeah. Everyone used to hate you, because you'd be half a field ahead of everybody else in the wide receiver group.
Appreciate that, Harv. Thank you, buddy.
Good stuff. Some good story.
But Greg, real quick, yes. And I don't want to take it much. You know, getting back to that Super Bowl, you know, I've had a lot of great experiences, but more importantly, I think the people who attend them, I think the fans in the cities where they take place, I think the communities where they take place are all better off for having the game played in those areas, whether it's being part of the week-long celebration. And one thing the league has done since 1989, when you know, the game was first played here in this stadium, is they've made it much more fan and community friendly. It used to be just a game, and you know, people would talk about the parties, and sure, that still exists, but they've done a lot of things to get the community involved, whether, as I mentioned, having the NFL experience, having these clinics, having these charitable civic activities like Habitat or the Yet Center. You know, it leaves a much, much bigger footprint in the community than it ever did, and that's only going to grow over time. With each passing year, a Super Bowl is going to be even more valuable to the community that hosts it.
Great stuff, Harvey. Appreciate the insight. Thanks for joining us here on the Finsiders, and we look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Thanks for having me, guys. Looking forward to seeing you down the road.
All right, there he is, Harvey Green, Vice President of Historical Affairs for the Miami Dolphins, joining us here on the Finsiders on the Metro PCS Hotline. For unlimited access to all interviews on the Metro PCS Hotline, visit thefinsiders.com.